before DJW, winds at 14 miles an hour. Gusts at who knows what.
Absolutely love it. It's cleaning and scrubbing the atmosphere. Yay.
Good for somebody. Not good for airplanes.
I've been over to Seneca working most all of the day, and I'm just about to get back to the house. And, I have to go back over there in the morning, and then I got my east side lunch tomorrow at noon. And beyond that, I am going to be clear the rest of the week. Doesn't that sound glorious?
So if the weather gets decent, are you saying you'll be able to go flying?
If it gets decent, there will be nothing but flying. I don't care what else is going on.
Yeah, I got some making up for lost time to do, huh?
You betcha. But at night, since I've been slaving away on the homestead, just about got it under control. Oh, you ought to see my runway, Dave. It looks nice. It's greening up, and I got it cut close. It looks good. Now, all we need is a little less wind. Fly right there at the house with that mixer. But, I'm finally getting a grip on that DMR.
Well, how is it compared to Echolink? Is it significantly different? I mean, in the end, you're talking to people through the internet mostly, right?
It's another structured Echolink, except the structure is about, I'd say, fourfold more complex.
Well, that gives you partitioning for talk groups that have common or similar likes, right? Similar things that they're drawn toward. So you can split up and not have a part of the audience bored stiff while the other part is sitting on the edge of their seat waiting for the next word to come out.
Correct. And those partitions, oh my goodness, hundreds of them.
That's good. That's kind of like Internet Relay Chat, IRC, when it came out back in the 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s. There was thousands of chat rooms where you could go in and talk to anybody about anything. There was a lot of the distributed computing competition groups. That's the way I learned a lot about competing with distributed computing, is in those talk groups. You could learn a ton. That's where the skills were. That's where the people that, they do that kind of thing. You know there's people out there that do that, but you don't have a clue how to get a hold of them. And then those things kind of fizzled out and went away, and they were replaced with social media. I hated that.
Yeah. But, in the long run, DMR is going to fizzle out. So is, the Yahoo version. Not Yahoo, but the Yazoo version of it. So will the ICOM. And they'll come out with something that's going to be more along the lines of a true open source kind of thing. DMR is about as close to open source as you can get right now. What's that old saying? The only thing that you can permanently count on is change.
That's true. That's the only constant. It's change. One constant in this world. Well, I guess there's two. The speed of light and change. Those are the two things that stay constant. The universal constant for Einstein's, E equals MC squared. And change. So does that mean that the speed of light is going to change? W4DJW.
Let's put it this way. The speed of sound is a variable. It is a measure that we have placed on the way sound waves travel. Sound waves travel at different speeds, at different altitudes, and air densities. So what's to say the speed of light in the depths of space around a black hole does not change? So, there again, I really don't believe that there are any absolute constants.
Well, I don't know if the speed of it changes, but its trajectory does. And there are planets. So if the universe is only 13 billion years old, 13.8 billion years old, there are planets that are more than 13.8 billion light years away from us. They're over double, over quadruple that. You know how they got to be that far away? I mean, if you think about it, any two points right from the from that infinitely small, infinitely dense, infinitely hot speck, right? That's where everything was. Everything was in that location. And then they started spreading out apart, you know, close to the speed of light. And since that point that it came into the Big Bang. So how can anything be more than 13.8 billion years apart? And that's because it can be. And that's because expansion of the universe isn't controlled by the speed of light, right? It can expand 10 times the speed of light, right? And light is inside there. It's being affected by the expansion of the universe. So, yeah, light, the speed of light actually changes by the way that the universe expands.
And the constant of the speed of light is actually truly a variable.
Yeah. Yeah, if you look at it in the big picture, it varies depending on how fast expansion is happening. And they think expansion might be slowing down, but Hubble proved that it's actually speeding up. That means we haven't ever finished the explosion. The explosion is still happening because it's still, you know, when explosion happens, it starts out at zero speed. And it increases speed to, you know, thousands of feet per second. And then it diminishes. Then it we haven't started diminishing yet. We're still in the expansion part of it. So we're still exploding. We're living in an explosion.
What is the constant?
It's the speed of light at any point in time. It's a point in time question, right? At a point in time, it is seven. It can traverse the circumference of the Earth seven times in 1 second. That's how fast it's going.
Only true one constant is the position of what you're viewing and change.
Well, a Google search says it's 299,792,458 meters per second. That's the speed. That's the universal constant. But that's expanding as time goes on. That doesn't make sense, does it?
There again, they say that the universal constant for the expansion is speeding up. So there again, change.
Roughly 300,000 kilometers per second. That's pretty fast, 300,000 kilometers per second. So that's saying if you went around the Earth seven times, you will have gone 300,000 kilometers.
Well, listen, I'm going to be watching the weather tomorrow. Now, like I said, I've got my lunch at about noon, and then I got a couple of errands, but I'm thinking by about 3 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, on until whenever, I'm going to be watching the winds. And I tell you something else too. Have you noticed the winds in the mornings?
W4DJW. Yeah, I was looking out there this morning. I was outside, and it was calm as it could be this morning. I thought I might just pack up and go, but I didn't. I had some work I've got to get ready for the club meeting tonight. You coming to the club meeting tonight?
In person.
They haven't said it's gone in person yet, so it's going to be online till it goes in person, and it hasn't gone in person yet.
Usually the way I get online for a Zoom meeting is a link that's set out. Is there a link set out this time?
I sent one out sometime close to noon. To everybody in the membership, should have an email in their inbox with that link in it. It's also in that, the one I sent out about two meetings ago that had the calendar meeting invite, the Outlook calendar meeting invite, or Google calendar, whatever you prefer to use. It had that calendar in it, which gives you a reminder, which if you click on the reminder, the link is in it.
I haven't checked my email at all today. I've just pulled into the house, and I have been going wide open since 5 o'clock this morning. So I am actually going to get a few minutes to sit down and look at a little more programming on DMR, a little more study, and check all the emails and do all my catch-up. So, yeah, I'll be in the meeting tonight. And I tell you what, I think I'm due for an afternoon nap before I get out into all that.
Yeah, my watch says 13-mile-an-hour winds, but my source online says it's 11-mile-an-hour winds, and it's dropping off from this point all the way till 8 o'clock when it's 5 miles an hour. So I think we probably could have gone, since it stays light till almost 9 o'clock at night now, I think we could have got some good flying in close to the end of the day, but such is life. You had to work. You're not really retired. You had to work.
Be easy on using that four-letter word. No, I'm looking out at my windsock right now, and my windsock is standing straight out and has been since I pulled in.
Oh, well. Yeah, my watch is closer to the one that's right rather than they changed the one that the weather that I usually use. It quit working, so I had to use the one that they replaced it with. And it's not so good, or at least I haven't figured it out yet.
Okay. Well, in the meantime, I'll tell you what. I've got to work tomorrow morning for about half a day and get my lunch tomorrow, but on Wednesday morning, I tell you, bud, if it's looking really good, what time are you functional?
So Wednesday has 38% chance of rain. That peaks out at, so at noon it's 3% chance of rain. At 10 it's 1% chance of rain. By 2 o'clock, it gets up to 30% chance of rain and 8-mile-an-hour winds. By 3 o'clock, it's 9-mile-an-hour winds. At noon, it's 9. So Wednesday is kind of iffy. But I should be able to, I mean, if Wednesday turns out to be a good day, I should be able to go any day this week. As long as they don't make a decision in the club meeting that we're going to go up to the tower site anytime soon. He wants me to take a multirotor up there and take pictures of the antenna to see what kind of work we've got to do before we actually do, you know, go up there with tools in hand.
A bit. Now, what does it say about Wednesday morning, like, say, 8 or 9 o'clock?
At 8 o'clock on Wednesday morning, 4-mile-an-hour winds, 1% chance of rain, is 72 degrees outside. Wednesday morning would be a great time to fly.
Baby, I'm looking for Wednesday morning then. So, 4-mile-an-hour winds at 72 degrees, that's optimum.
Yeah, that's just enough info to know which way to throw the airplane when you take off. Without that much wind, you don't know which way to throw the airplane.
There you go. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and start planning on Wednesday morning then, and give me the winds. All right, that's for 8 o'clock to about 9 o'clock. What does it look like at about 10 to 11?
10 to 11 is 7 to 8 mile an hour. 7 to 8 mile an hour and 1% chance of rain, and it gets up to 82 degrees in that time frame. So it jumps 10 degrees.
I fly from 8 until about 10 o'clock then. That's 3 solid hours of flying. With the layoff that I've had, that's going to be a plenty. And that just sounds just beautiful. So, that's what I'm going to be planning on Wednesday morning, flying, brother.
All right, that sounds like a plan. That means I've got this afternoon and tomorrow to cut the grass because it's getting up there. If I let it get too high, it takes up too many battery charges. I can cut it all in one set of batteries if I cut it before it gets too high. That's a different way of thinking about it, isn't it? Instead of thinking about how many gallons of gas it takes, think about how many charges on the battery it takes to cut the grass. And if I let it get up too high, it takes a whole lot more charges on the battery than if I keep it, you know, keep it below, you know, ankle high, or, you know, between ankle and halfway up your knee high.
Well, I have done my domestic grass duty, and Saturday, there's not a blade of grass in my lawn that did not get cut all day Saturday, plus all the weed eating. So I have been released on that duty to my own recognizance. So, and that's probably for about the next seven, maybe not this coming Saturday, but about the following Monday and Tuesday, I am free of grass.
Have you done, well, my next, I did grass, you know, a little over a week ago too. And the next thing on the, and then I did pressure washing after the grass. And now I got to do mulch. So mulch has got to come in there sometime, and it can't be during the rain.
Well, sounds like tomorrow morning just might be just the time to do it. Now, are you going to shovel your own mulch, or are you going to have it done, or what?
Well, it's a whole lot cheaper if I just get them to haul me up two dump truck loads and dump it at the end of the driveway, and I use the wheelbarrow to spread it around. But that's an all-day job.
Well, no, that's true. Now, you've got a cover on your truck. Man. Well, I was going to say, if you wanted to use my trailer, you could go over there and get it all at one shot. And I go over to that place on, do you know the road that Hitachi is on?
No, I usually order from Twin Bridges, you know, over there on White Hampton, where the Twin Bridges are. There's a nursery over there. I usually order it from them. And two dump truck loads, I don't know, they might be about six or eight trailer loads.
I doubt it would be that much. My trailer is a fairly good-sized trailer. And two trailer loads max. Because my trailer will hold two full-size scoops without any problem. And yeah, that's right. That's a full pickup truck load.
I'm not talking pickup truck. I'm talking dump truck. They've got a dump truck over there that they'll haul it out. They haul it out, they back down your driveway, and they dump it.
Okay. Hey, that's an awful lot of mulch, buddy. You know, that's kind of like shoveling snow. Old guys don't shovel snow like we used to. That's a heart attack in the making.
I know. That's why I said it's an all-day job. If I was younger, it might be a three-quarters to a half-a-day job. But now, at the age that I'm at now, it's a whole-day job, if not all day and a quarter of the next day.
Everything in moderation, just like I texted before. Everything in moderation. All right. Well, listen, I'm going to jump off here. I'm going in. I'm going to plan on Wednesday morning, and I'm going to get me just a little bit of siesta before the boss gets home and puts my butt back to work again. So, anyhow, Wednesday morning it is, sir. 73, K and 4, VWA. I'll be clear after you find me.
All right, catch you later. Enjoy your nap. K4 VWA, W4 DJ, W clear.
WA, K4 CHY.
Catch me, K4 CHY, K4 VWA.
Just going to see if you remembered what the website was.
I wrote down here. Is this Keith?
The repeater's having issues again. I was just going to remind you, scheart.us, over.
Written down in here. As a matter of fact, that's the site that I was going to go visit here in just a few minutes. Is this Keith?
Yes, yeah, I heard y'all talking about it. I heard you mention you were going to go start working on that, so I just wanted to make sure you still had it.
Down, boss. All right, well, listen, I'm getting a call, too, Keith. I appreciate it. K4, VWA, I'm clear.
All right, sir. Have a good one. Enjoy your nap. Yeah, and I was thinking, Dave, when you said it might take all day now, I was thinking to myself it might take me 2 days nap in between.
I think you're right, Keith. I was holding back a little bit. Did you bump up that audio a little bit more? Because when you first came on, you sounded like gangbusters. Did you go back in there and bump it up a little higher?
I did the initial bump. I think the repeater's having issues because y'all were coming in at about half scale, and as you were talking, it was falling and falling, and eventually it dropped below the 12th level over.
Okay. Well, you're holding it at full scale where I am. Man, you're further away. You're like double the distance between you and the repeater as it is between me and the repeater. So for me, it's holding it 100% while you're talking. But the audio sounds louder than it did the last time I talked to you. Maybe conditions just weren't good on that day, but it sounds solid as rock that when you first keyed up talking to Steve.
At the end of Steve's transmission there, when he was getting out, he dropped out completely, and at the end of yours, it was going down and back up. But I did that initial adjustment that you showed me from the YouTube channel, and I had touched it since.
Okay, well, that's just fluctuation in the repeater. Johnny thinks there might be something going on with the antenna, so I got to take a multirotor up there and take some pictures of it. And then we'll know what kind of tools we need to take up there next time we go up. But I have noticed, like, at the beginning of the net, of any of the nets, or a lot of them, it's got a lot of clicking and popping. But then you get 15 minutes into the net, and that clears up, and people forget about the first 15 minutes of the net. But there's something going on there. I don't know what it is. But it's been 5 years about since we made any major changes. So to go 5 years and not need it to be touched is not too shabby.
Not at all. And I mean, it really seems like it's been great now, because this is, when you two were talking, this is the worst I've heard it in a while, or maybe even ever.
Yeah, since you first came on, it is degrading. I can tell it's degrading a little bit. And you're going to be the one that senses it before anybody else does. You're going to detect it. You're going to be an early detector because of your distance. But you and KN4UBG Kevin, he is on the outer edge too, up near Blacksburg, up getting close to the state line, which is not too far past the state line when you lose it all together. But anyway, I just thought I'd tell you it sounded really good when you came in there. Conditions changing too. The leaves are all the way out now, so that makes a major change too. And then when the leaves get wet, that makes yet another change. So a lot of stuff going on there.
Yeah, good to know that it does sound much better now. I need to get, or maybe 820 is already in here. Is that on a different window? You said that was at your house, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
What kind of height you got on the antenna over there? I don't know if I can get it.
So it's in, the house is a two-story house, and it's in the attic. So it's like at the third story up. There's a collinear that is near it that is at 30 feet. It's got three 10-foot steel pipes that are holding it up in the air. So the Yagi that I'm talking about now is 30 feet in the air, but it's inside. It's not out in the weather, and it's only like a five-element Yagi. Steve and I got these from DX Engineering. He's looking through DX Engineering, and he found a 10-element Yagi, a diamond 10-element Yagi that works really good. We both ordered them, and they came in within a couple of days. You might look on that, or if you want me to, I can go look up the number. But that would probably solve. I mean, I don't know if you've got room to put up a 10-element Yagi outside. They're not that long. I don't know how many. It's like it's only three pieces in the box to put together. All the elements are already mounted and everything. You just have to rotate them and tighten them down. But if you've got, it was like a little over $100. So a really, really decent 10-element Yagi, and problem solved.
I was talking to Patrick just a day or two ago about, he said he's got I think it's a 13-element. I'm definitely interested in that, and nothing else for doing sideband and maybe even simplex to play around with it. but yet you dropped down a couple of times there. I was wondering, are there any other, like, full-blown repeaters around that area I might be able to try to hit that you have programmed?
I have a whole bunch of them, but in this area. So, there's the Bear Wallow repeater. Are you familiar with 14664 or the one up on north, the 14519? I could hit both of those before my 17-foot collinear went out, but now it's kind of marginal for me to be able to hit them.
What about 470? Can you get that one?
I have hit that one before. It's been a long time, but the 14547, yes, if I can remember the PL tone.
91.5 in and out.
You want to switch over to that one?
Real quick, see if we can hear that.
All right, I'm turning on a different radio. This one's fixed on that other antenna, and I can't change the frequency on this one because it's got Echolink on it. But I'll switch the other one over to that one and give you a call over there. W4DJW.
4DJW, K4PHY.
I can hear you. I wasn't looking at I was hunting for my desktop that had the push the talk button on it. I could hear you, but I wasn't looking at my scale. Do it again so I can look at my scale this time.
4DJW, K4PHY. Yeah, when I switched it to low over there, I thought it was working out.
Well, you're full scale on the meter. It's up all the way. But the audio just has a lot of white noise in it. But it's full scale. And that's probably because one of those lobes isn't pointed in your direction.
Power, yeah, that's probably the issue. And if those aren't 470 and this one is fairly close proximity to each other.
I didn't get all of that. Talk a little bit louder.
Billy's and this repeater is pretty close proximity to each other.
Yeah, Johnny told me, I was up there not too long ago, and he told me where I went when I did that simplex test. I was like right next to his antenna. I didn't see it, but I was somewhere in the vicinity of it, and I was less than a mile away from our, well, less than that, probably less than between a quarter of a mile and a half away from our repeater.
I got you. So you're still getting a lot of white noise here on medium power?
Yeah, but when you spoke up, it broke through the white noise. If you're just talking at normal voice, it doesn't get through the white noise. But if you speak up a little bit, then it raises the scale is full scale, but the audio just doesn't come through when you're talking a normal tone of voice.
I guess I just got to drive this thing then.
Yeah, but you didn't have to do that on Billy's repeater. You talked at normal voice. I could hear you like you were sitting in the room next to me. So that's the difference when you got a lobe pointed that way and you don't. That should get better when we do the work on the repeater, but it may be a while before we get that second antenna up. We've got to do some training on the new winch that we got. We haven't ever used a winch. We've always hauled up. And those antennas are heavy. They're really, really heavy. I don't know. It seems like they weigh about 300 or 400 pounds. But anyway, we haul them up manually. We've been hauling them up manually. He's got to build a mount for the winch, and we're going to haul this one up with a winch. So it could be a while because we got to train on the winch, we got to mount the winch, and then we have got to haul that antenna up and then run another piece of coax. So I wouldn't count on that happening anytime soon.
I heard that. I'll continue to use my shouty voice for a little while. And on the club meeting, is that done via Zoom, or do y'all use some other conferencing stuff to do the club meeting?
That's done on Zoom. Did you not get an email today?
Checked lately, but the only Windows machine I have is the work machine, and they won't let me do that. Can't install stuff on it.
Okay, but it is Zoom. Yeah, and it, I mean, if you've got a machine with a browser, you should be it should work.
Okay, I might give it a try then. I didn't realize it was browser based. I thought you had to install an app to do it with.
No, I think it'll go either way. And you, if you didn't get the email, let me know so that I can make sure you're on the email list. But if you didn't, you can go to Briars.cc, Brars.cc website, and instructions on how to get there and the link and all that are there. It says there's a Facebook page that has it on it too. So there's like three separate ways to get to that link.
Good. I'll check the website. I'll check my email. I just don't have my phone with me. It's sitting there on the desk. So. I'll check my email back when I get back and let you know whether or not I got it. But yeah, I can hit up the website and go from there. Well, speaking of work, I need to get back at it. So appreciate the little tips we've done here and encouraging you to see
all right. Well, enjoy the rest of your workday. Yeah, I enjoy the little tests. I like little test sessions like that as well. Hope to see you on the meeting tonight, the club meeting. KM4CHY W4DJW clear.
Try to make it KM4CHY clear. Back to work.
Keith, it's our mission. I want to say hello to you too, KM4DJC.
Good afternoon, Jerry. You doing all right?
Pretty good. Keith is going back to work, so I know I don't want to interfere with anybody having to do something like that. I did my share of it during the time I was actually working for a living. But I've kind of enjoyed it. They hadn't done a lot of anything. And it's kind of the time, a few times I've been outside, did a little work, it got to be hot in a hurry.
Yeah, I haven't been out there. That make sure Keith isn't there.
Say hey, Jerry, and bye, Jerry. And I just noticed I have 89 degrees out there.
All right, Keith, get back to work. Yeah, Jerry, my days of doing that are over, too, I think. I keep getting emails from these people that want to have a sit-down, but I haven't had a sit-down yet, so I'm kind of enjoying it. I kind of got a taste of freedom, and I don't want to go back.
I thought I was going to have a difficult time back to work. Long hours for so long, and I spoiled myself about the last 15 years. I worked. I didn't work on the weekends. I traveled during the week, and did outside sales for machinery and that sort of thing, and got a customer. I had to drive a lot, but I got accustomed to having the freedom of, you know, not having to be in at 6 o'clock in the morning. I had to work till 7 or 8 o'clock at night, and if somebody called me, it generally wasn't a problem. It's generally to buy something.
Well, I did. I had it a lot easier the last 15 years than I did the first 15 years. Or 25 years or something like that. I didn't have to do it. I drove a whole lot the very first half of my career, up to Charlotte and back every day. And then the last 15 years I worked from home, so I just had to cross the hall. So made up for lost ground. I was filling up my gas tank every other day. Back when gas was, back when it cost $70 to fill up your gas tank, that was hurting. But it was worth it in the end. Got to work from home for the last part of it, so that made it a whole lot easier. Made it a whole lot more productive, anyway.
Out of discipline to work on your own from home or otherwise, and I already had a pretty good work ethic, and I didn't have a problem handling it, but some guys just don't do well at that. I didn't work so much from home because we didn't have much in the way of internet connectivity when I started out in sales. But then I had to drive and, you know, stay on the phone a lot, that sort of thing. And driving through Atlanta, Charlotte, just about every week it seemed like, and I got accustomed to it. I'd try to hit certain people at certain times of the day so I wouldn't have the sun in my eyes. And, you know, a lot of these manufacturing guys, they don't want to talk to you early in the morning. They don't want to talk to you at lunchtime or after lunch or before they go home or something like that. They don't want to wish to see me just fine. That way I can start out reasonably early and get there in 2 hours and meet multiple people and get done with it and maybe head back home that day or head somewhere else the next day.
Well, you talk about driving without the sun in your eyes. I'd get up in the morning, it'd be dark, and I'd get up around Gastonia. And that's when 85 changes from northeast to east. And that sun is coming up over that. You'd see taillights galore when you're going, when 85 turns and goes east in the morning time coming there. And the sun's coming up. Just red lights, red taillights like crazy on 85. And everybody pulling their hand up and putting the sun visor down. And then on the way home, last part of the trip on the way home as well, is the sun would be setting far enough, or sometimes, a lot of times it'd be dark already, so it wouldn't be an issue. But if you get an early leave, coming back past that peach, and that's when the road turns again, 85 turns from southwest to west, and it's like, man, that sun is bright.
Up to Rock Hill and Fort Mill to get bed, and a lot of times I'd go in the office in the morning, you know, do some, get my preliminary stuff ready and that sort of thing, and then head out. But I'd try to head out, you know, about 10 o'clock or so, and then head back the next day, you know, with the sun behind me. But when they started putting a lot of this, I guess it's mica or something like that, some type of silica-based stuff in the paving or maybe in the asphalt. Man, when it hit that asphalt or concrete at right angle, it bent like a mirror. And then about not long after I started traveling like that is when all these trailer rigs started putting those aluminum steel shiny doors on the back of the rigs. And man, that's like looking in a mirror and blinding the you know what out of you, even with the sun behind you.
Yeah, I know exactly, W4DJW, I know exactly what you're talking about. A lot of hours. A lot of on the road with my hands up over my eyes or pulling the shield down or sitting up straight in the seat so that you can get your eyes up above the sun visor where the sun's coming in. Anyway, that's one of the reasons I'm not looking forward to is people wanting, they make really enticing offers, but then you think about all that stuff you got to go through and it's like, nah, it's not worth it.
Your talent and knowledge, you could always dabble back in it occasionally if you wanted to. And one of my wife's first cousins worked in a nuclear reactor plant for years, and when he basically retired, they begged him to come back a couple of times. And he comes back, works a few months at a time. He said he'd make more money in a few months than he made in a year. So he'll take a little dip back in for a while and he gets tired of it and leaves, and they'll call him back, you know, another year or something like that, and he goes back in it again and makes some toy money.
That is another way to look at it. I would consider it if it, so what I was doing, it was fun. It was computer based and I enjoy working with computers, but it wasn't manufacturing, which I like a lot, and it wasn't aviation, which I like a lot. If I found something that was like manufacturing or aviation or a little bit of both, you know, then I would be much more likely to go back into it rather than banking. As fun as it was, it's still banking, and banking is boring.
About that, too, I did some project management before I left manufacturing, and that was, it could get real exciting in a hurry, but it was just real drudgery to deal with all the contractors. You know, you'd concrete, people pouring concrete, running pipe, and all that sort of thing, and it wasn't a huge project, about $25 million or so, and it's still just very time consuming to meet with all those people. It's interesting, but my manager decided I could do that and run the manufacturing part of the facility as well. So it was very time consuming. I learned a lot. That I learned that people don't always do what the contractor did. You have to follow up with them and dealing with the guys that design it and the guys that do it are two different sets of engineers.
Well, you bring up another point there too. That's I work for a company that does it the right way, and I work for a company that does it the wrong way. And if you get one that does it the wrong way, it makes them miserable. If you get one that, you know, spends what they need to spend and knows, I mean, they understand what you tell them and they understand what it is that they want and what that costs, that makes it a whole lot more enjoyable because you can see success. You can see that you're making headway with and that it's working, and that's rewarding. but you get one that all they do is, all they see is bright, new, shiny objects, and they just want to go after those new, shiny objects, and they don't take care of what they got. That's no fun at all. And I've done it both ways. I like it the way, the responsible way of doing it.
I did the same thing. And when I started out, I worked for a couple of different companies, and one of them in particular was a really good company. When I worked at Bell & Kim, it was a good company, but they were real, they were tough. They were tough to work for, long hours and that sort of thing, but they did all the engineering projects. They had like degree engineers working on stuff like that, and they had, you know, civil engineers doing some of the work, you know, for the building projects and the electrical projects. They had some real good electrical engineers. It was just a pleasure to do projects with those guys. And I'd run into work for another company, and it was kind of haphazard the way they did things. And they didn't think, you know, you got to think about four steps ahead or five steps ahead to be able to do it the right way. They might think one step ahead if you were lucky.
And that gets old, and it gets old in a hurry, and then it stays that way. Then it's nothing but downhill. Anyway, Jerry, I've got to get out of here. I've got to put some more stuff together for the meeting tonight. I haven't finished collecting all of my data, so I got a little bit more I got to do, and then I'll be ready for the meeting tonight. But anyway, good talking to you. Enjoyed it. Take care. Stay safe. W4DJW.
Take care, Dave. Enjoy talking with you as well as usual. Have a good afternoon. N4DJ, stay clear.
KO4WWZ, contact KO4WWZ on the track. KO4MUV, KO4WWZ. Negative contact, KO4WWZ, red, clear.